Welcome to the Retirement Risk Show, the best retirement interviews and advice with Dave Hall. Learn strategies to help you reduce and even eliminate the risks facing your retirement.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name's Dave Hall. Very excited to be with you again, talking about that longest self-imposed period of unemployment most of you'll have in your lifetime. Could be 10 years, could be 20 years. Heck, it might even be 30 or 40. It is what we call retirement. If you are looking to get safely through those retirement years, please go to my website, retirementriskadvisors.com. Here you'll be able to get access to the education tools we offer, the planning resources, as well as my calendar to allow my team and I to be able to help you make those right decisions, to be able to eliminate the various risks that we talk about so often, not only here on the show, but through our various educational events and our webinars that we teach. Today, we're going to be talking about something that's not really an exciting topic to me, but it's something that's reality, and that's divorce. We are going to be talking about some of the impact that divorce can have on your retirement, not only from a financial side, but also from an emotional side. I mean, we're dealing with separation. For some of you, that it will have been for 10, 20, 30 years you've been together, maybe longer than that. To help me with this, I brought in today Meredith Shirey. She is a psychotherapist based in New York City as a licensed marriage and family therapist. She specializes in treating attachment and relationally based issues in couples and individuals. She has written and contributed articles to many online publications, including Today.com, Elite Daily, Bustle, and the New York Times. She also co-hosts the podcast Love Me or Leave Me, which explores all things related to the complex issues we face in our closest relationships. Meredith, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So Meredith, as I mentioned, not necessarily a topic I like talking about. Obviously, you do it on a daily basis, and I realize that there are many times that it can be a good choice, that sometimes marriages just weren't meant to work out. But let's talk a little bit more about you before we get started into some ideas that we can help our listeners with. What got you into this field? How did you go down this path to get where you are today?
When I decided to become a therapist, like so many other people in my field, I got used to talking about relationships and having very in-depth conversations with people early on. My parents actually got divorced when I was about 16. And so it taught me how to, for better or for worse, it taught me how to mediate. And I actually realized it wasn't something I resented or hated. It was actually something I realized, hey, I think I can do this effectively. And it's given me a sense of empathy that I think has been really helpful. And so it made sense to say, okay, there's a way I can actually turn this into a career, right? So I can harness the attributes I like the best about myself and use them to hopefully help other people. So it seemed like it was a natural fit. And like I said, it's been incredibly rewarding. It's funny when people ask me about what got me into this field or should I get into this field. I always tell them it's like, one, if you're wanting to be a millionaire, don't do this. But two, you know, you really, really have to have a huge amount of humility and just appreciation for people and willingness to step outside of yourself, but also to really, really reflect about why you think about the things you do, right? Why you feel the way you do about things, right? So that you can have an openness for everyone in everyone's situation, because everyone is so different and so unique. And I would say 99% of us, we're doing the absolute best we can with what we have.
What are you seeing out there from a trend standpoint with divorce? Are we seeing more of it because of some of the challenges we've gone through, and especially with the aging population? Are we seeing more divorce there, or what are we seeing?
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing, and it's a bit of a paradox, because the overall divorce trend is more or less about the same. It's even gone down in some areas. But among the divorces we're seeing, the age of the divorcees is rising. And there's a lot of reasons for that. There's lots of studies that explore this. One of them being we're living longer. People are having children later. And a lot of it has to do with, again, the fact that, okay, if we're living longer, we're having children later. And we realize, okay, if I still have another 40, 50 years to live post when I've been with this person for X amount of years, do I really want to spend it with this person, right? Is this really how I want to spend the rest of my time on this planet? And because for so many people, women especially being able to be more in the workplace and as having a closer to equal ratio there in terms of income allows for more resources to be able to get a divorce, because 40, 50 years ago, when women did not have the financial standing to be able to leave the marriage, people stayed together, right? It didn't necessarily mean that they were happy, but they did because it was what you had to do, right? Whereas now when we have more financial resources, especially in the US, we have this kind of preoccupation with we want happiness, right? That's our goal for ourselves, for our children. We want to be happy. And so if we get to the end of child rearing years and look at this person and say, well, do you make me happy anymore? And so people are questioning this and it's making them decide, okay, do I want to stay with this person for the time I have left or do I not?
Meredith, you don't know this about me and none of the listeners, I don't think, know this about me. I've never really talked about it, but I come from a home where my parents did not get along at all for a period of probably 5 or 10 years. In fact, I'm sure they would have got divorced had they had the resources to do so. And my mom was one of those that didn't have the resources. There was no way she could see taking care of not only herself, but us kids. Saying, look, if I go off, my dad was working away from home a lot, so it was really her responsibility to raise us, saying there's no way in the world I can make this financially work. As you look at that compared to those who get out of the situation, any guidance there of what's better, or is it a situation now where people can get out that, hey, all in all, it's working better for everyone because people aren't having to go through these miserable experiences of not getting along for such long periods of time?
Right. And it's such a complex question, and I wish I could give you a short answer. And I'm going to be an annoying therapist and say it really depends, because it does. You know, everyone's situation is so different. And, you know, it might even be too that when life stressors happen, right, if there's a trauma, if something happens, the plan I had 5 years ago might not be the plan I have now. And so it changes. It's always evolving. And that's a big reason too why I think it's important for us to remove the judgment about it, right? No matter what you decide, people make decisions for themselves and their families, usually, especially of this gravity, based on so many factors. One of the things I really recommend people to do is to not be short-sighted. At the same time, hardly anyone is short-sighted about this, right? Because we don't get a divorce based on, okay, we didn't get along this week or this month. We might question what we feel about this relationship, but people usually don't then go through the steps, because divorce is an arduous process. You're legally breaking up. And there's so many factors you have to consider financially, your family, also the social pieces. And so that's so complex and very, very different, again, depending on the situation. If you are someone who you're in your late 20s, early to mid 30s, you don't have children with this person, and you both have a career, getting a divorce at that point might make a lot more sense because it's easier on the books, right? There's less to separate, so to speak. And also, if you've only been married for a few years, there's less of an entanglement, right? Your lives are hopefully a little less entwined versus you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and you've been married for, you know, most of your adult life, and you have multiple children that you're either raising or recent empty nesters. So much is so much more intricately intertwined that that's going to be a much more complex question to ask, right? You know, what makes sense? And so I know I'm not giving you a definitive answer at all, probably, but I hope that helps in terms of just thinking about how people tend to make these decisions.
But it does help. And one of the things I loved about what you said is just there can be no judgment. We've got to understand that we don't understand the inner workings of most people's marriages. We don't understand what people are going through mentally as they're going through this process.
More than 50% of CPAs will run out of money in retirement, and this number is projected to grow because of risks like inflation, increased longevity, and rising healthcare costs. Retirement Risks Advisors has the perfect solution to help CPAs make their money last as long as they do. Learn more by signing up for our flagship webinar, Getting Safely Through Retirement. In this webinar, we share the top 10 financial risks CPAs will face in retirement and what can be done to reduce or eliminate each risk. To get started, visit retirementriskadvisors.com/safe.
We often talk about the financial impact, and pretty easy for people to put stuff on a piece of paper and run a balance sheet and say, okay, by the time we're done, I'm going to have X dollars and X income, and hopefully you have X dollars and X income if we don't give it all to the attorneys before we get through it. But what we often don't look at is the emotional damage, the mental stress that we go through. Can you talk a little bit about that and maybe what people can do to better deal with that if they're going through this situation?
Right. Yeah. And I can say again, from, you know, I actually went through a divorce in my early mid 20s. And then, like I said, seeing my parents go through it too. So I can personally attest and have a lot of compassion for people going through this. No matter what stage you're at, it's a huge adjustment. And again, how impactful and stressful it is, it really depends on your situation, but it is always adjustment on all fronts. So one of the things we have to look at on the emotional piece is, even if you are in a very awful situation, you know, potentially even abuse or something like that, try to pick your battles and again, like if you don't want to give all of your money to the attorneys when it's all over, you have to be really, really conscious about, okay, what's worth fighting over and what's not. You are the only person who can decide that. But again, you have to kind of think about, okay, one, if you're in an abusive situation, you need to go through litigation, not through a mediator, because you need to be able to have someone help you advocate for what's right for you, right? Because that way you can, again, make sure that you need to be assertive on some level. But if everything's pretty equal, you need to think about, how do I not go to war? I think most people try to set out at the beginning of the divorce process thinking, okay, we want this to be peaceful. We want this to be amicable. At some point, though, because you're not sitting on the same side of the table, right? You are sitting on opposite sides of the table. You're splitting things up. It's going to become contentious. And so when you notice yourself starting to get flooded, starting to get really angry, it's good to take a step back and not have those conversations in the attorney's office or even with a couple's therapist. So I actually recommend that when people are beginning a divorce, go to an individual therapist. At the beginning of your divorce, do not try couples therapy. It will not be beneficial to anybody. Now, after all the dust is settled, if you want to go back then and do couples therapy just to maybe work out some of your co-parenting or to hopefully do some healing that can allow you to have an amicable working relationship, great. But that's one thing I recommend to do because, like I said, you're not going to be in a place where you're going to be able to use that effectively. And at the same time, you need to be able to process those emotions. One of the other things too that goes along with this is being really, really careful and mindful about what you're telling your children, how you're telling them, and how you're kind of using them or caring for them in this process. One thing that I think is really important for couples who are maybe in the close to or past retirement age going through a divorce is that your children are not your fill in the blank professional, right? They're not your financial professional. They're not your legal professional. And so you need to be careful about your disclosures to your children. And the best way to be careful about that is make sure you and your partner are on the same page and you've had a clear conversation about those boundaries. But also too, that you're caring for your children the way that even if they're adults, there is an emotional impact of your divorce on them. And so you might feel happy that this is finally happening and that you've got some freedom. Your kids are probably not going to feel the same way, right? And so you don't need to necessarily be as directly involved as you would if you were parenting young children, but you do need to have some consideration for the fact that your kids might not be as okay with this as you are.
Yeah, and absolutely, as we see it, I've had that maybe unfortunate because what I do, unfortunate experience of going through this many times with people that just get caught up in the process. And you talked about this. Sometimes people just get caught up into it. And I love the fact that you mentioned going to individual therapy first. I've got a 15-year-old going on 16 right now that's learning how to drive. Not my first rodeo here. I've got 8 kids, so I've already taught 4 other kids how to drive. But as we're going out, one of the things I always tell them is you might be right, but you still might not win. I mean, you're in a driving situation and yeah, you may have the right of way, but if you still get in an accident, it's someone else's fault. You really didn't win the situation. You're still going to have to deal with the insurance companies. You're still going to have to get the car fixed. You're still going to have to go through all this trauma. And I think many times that can apply to relationships. That, hey, being right doesn't always mean that I won, that I got what I needed to out of here, that sometimes I may have to give up. I had a client here recently, he spent almost $3 million on attorneys to fight through the process, and they just got caught up into the arguing. Well, now he's back with his ex-wife. They're actually spending time together, and it's like, why did we go through this process? But he just got so caught up, I'm going to be right. They've wronged me. I'm going to go through this, and I'm going to prove it. And it's like, yeah, but you lost in the end.
Exactly. Oh, I love that you said that. So one of my favorite therapists, and she has her own book and podcast, Esther Perel, she has this quote she said in one of her episodes of, you can be right or you can be married. Meaning like, which do you choose? Because the thing is too, and I love the driving analogy you use, the Gottmans call that like yielding to win, right? Where it's about, okay, what's your real goal here? You know, do you want to come out alive? Do you want to be kind of like king over the ashes? You're not really winning. And so it's a lot of times too, within conflict, helping couples to understand that most of the time, if you're in conflict with someone, it's because you are so sure that you're right. And they are so sure that they're right, right? And that's where we come up to where we're butting heads. And so one of the things I do with couples a lot of times is remind them that, okay, think about your perspective and your partner's perspective as though they're parallel lines, right? They can both exist. They never need to cross. And so when we're having conversations, the goal needs to be understanding, not winning. Even if you win because the other person finally gives in, they have so much resentment built up already that again, like you're kind of slowly poisoning yourself.
Yeah, no, and I've seen it so many times as a professional. You see it in business relationships. Luckily, I've been blessed with the ability to forgive people. I've been taken advantage of many times. And my wife often comments about it. She's like, Dave, how in the world can you just be so forgiving? And luckily, it's something that I've had. One of the other quotes, though, I'd like to talk a little bit about that another individual told me early on in my marriage is he said, the grass might be greener, but it's just as hard to mow. And it really hit home that marriage is not necessarily easy. And just because we're hard today in our marriage now doesn't mean we're not going to have a hard in that other relationship. Can you talk a little bit about some of your thoughts on that?
I love that quote. I would love to know who told you that because I need to write it down so I can attribute it to the correct person. But I love that.
Yeah, you've still got to put in the work. Even though it may look nicer, you've still got to spend a lot of time working on it.
Right. That's so true. One of the other therapists I admire a lot, Bill Doherty, talks about this where it's like you can get a divorce as often as you want, but you cannot divorce yourself. And so one of the things, whether you're staying in your own relationship, whether you're moving on, you have to do some self-reflection. So it takes two people to create a dynamic and it takes one to change it. So the most healthy thing you can do for yourself is to be aware of, okay, what's coming up for me, right? Why am I kind of getting stuck or grinding my heels in? Or, okay, if I'm feeling like my spouse is doing that or my partner is doing that, why is that? So looking at things with a little more curiosity, and sometimes the way we have to do that is to kind of zoom out, right? So to get out of our heads and in the immediacy of it. But you're so right that you can move on to another yard and that's fine. But there are going to be things about that yard that make it just as hard to mow, right? I actually heard this recently and I thought it was such a fascinating thing that there was a study where they actually found that because of the way that grass grows, if you're in your own yard, your neighbor's yard will look greener. But the same is true in reverse, that your yard looks greener from their yard. So the point being that, yes, you can look outside of it all you want for those comparisons, but the comparisons mean nothing if you're not being reflective of what's going on, right? If I'm not happy with this, what am I doing to change it? What's actually getting in the way of this happiness? And not just thinking, well, it's clearly because this other person, you know, I'm great. I'm perfect. They're the problem. They're the issue. That doesn't help you, right? Because again, then you're going to jump from person to person, lawn to lawn, and you're going to run into the same things.
I've noticed that with real estate. I love looking at houses. And one of the things that I love is because they're so unique. And I get in my own house and I think it's so bland that, you know, it's just not what I want it to be. But it's because I got accustomed to it. When I bought the home, I was very excited. And then you get accustomed to it. All of a sudden it changes. And I think you're right. In relationships, you see that happen. I know I've seen it in my own marriage. And Tom Hagna, another good friend, he talks about, you know, life being hard. You know, being married's hard and being single's hard. You just got to choose your heart. You know, being in this relationship is going to be hard and the next relationship is going to be hard. Choose your heart. Being rich is going to be hard. Being poor is going to be hard. You just got to choose what your heart is. And I think that's one of the things we need to look at as we go through here. And again, not that everyone needs to stay together. I realize that there are situations that that's not the case. But are you seeing trends, too, of why people are separating as they get older? Is it really just for their own happiness? Is it financial strain? Is it extramarital affairs? Is there any real reason that you're seeing, yeah, most people are calling it quits because this happened?
There's so many things that contribute to why someone decides to call it quits. And again, there's no judgment either way. A lot of it, I think, especially when we see that rising divorce population among recent empty nesters, is because we got so wrapped up in the business of child rearing, right? Because for so many couples, that becomes such the focus that we forget each other, right? We forget why I decided to do this with this other person. And so when we lose that connection with our partner because our connection is solely based on this business and now that business is no longer needed, if we look at this other person and say, well, I don't know you and also I don't even think I like you, that's a big contributing factor there. Now, not everybody does that. And one of the best ways to prevent that, and this is something I talk to couples a lot, actually recently met with a couple who wanted to talk about some stresses around or some anxiety around like having their first child. And the best thing you can do for your marriage, for your children, and just for your overall well-being is to preserve that relationship with your partner. That needs to come first. Now, I'm not saying neglect your children. Obviously, do not do that. But for your health, your well-being, your children on a number of levels, you have to make sure that your relationship with your spouse apart from having kids is important. So I know everyone says date night. That actually is very important. And even if it's, listen, you've got 30 minutes every night where phones are off, TV's off, and you just talk about what's going on. And again, not talking about the kids, but just saying, what are you feeling? What's going on for you, right? What's giving you joy? What's harming you? What's feeling hurtful or hard? Those are connections that will help you to feel that you and your partner are on the same team and that you have more in common, right? There's a curiosity there. And so then that once we have the kids out of the house, it can be turning to this person saying, I'm so glad we got through this. Let's go have some fun together, right? That can be a source of enjoyment and something you're looking forward to versus something you're lamenting in terms of, my God, like, what are we going to do when it's just us in the house alone and there's no one to distract us?
It's been a real adjustment for us with this because we just recently adopted two disabled children. And now we have date lunch because we can't get out at night. It's impossible because we don't have the caretakers we need. We're working on that. But right now we don't have the caretakers we need to take care of them. And so one of us has to be home every night to make sure they get taken care of before they go to bed. And so we do date lunch. But I think you're right. As you look here, far too many times with retirees, is all of a sudden they get through the working years where they've been able to have their own lives to some level, and now you're together all the time. And one of the things that I know I've used in my marriage is making sure we focus on the expectations. I often say most of life's challenges can be solved if we get the expectations right. And most of our problems are because of unmet expectations, that we expect our spouse to be doing X, Y, and Z, and they don't do it, where in their mind, they're thinking, well, that wasn't even my job. It wasn't even on top of my mind. I wasn't worrying about it. Do you see that as well? Are we seeing that couples oftentimes expect something different, but then don't communicate well enough to get the results they're hoping for as they work together to save their marriage and work through their marriage?
Absolutely. And I love what you just said there, because that is so pivotal. Like, when people ask me, okay, you know, what's kind of the underlying factor when couples don't stay together? It is expectations and disappointments. And an analogy I use is, if you almost think about, like, so many little interactions, right? Things that you're probably not even conscious you're doing. If your wife were to walk into the room, what is your expectation of how she's going to greet you, right? So that's a moment and that's an interaction that can either go in the positive direction or the negative. If you're expecting her to smile and say hi, well, maybe not right now because you're recording a podcast, but you know, if you weren't doing that and she kind of glowers and asks you, you know, why you didn't do something, you can see how just that interaction, because you had an expectation that you probably didn't even realize you had, was either met or unmet. Any one of those tiny little moments in and of itself is not that significant. But the thing you want to make sure to be aware of is that it's like a grain of sand that piles up. When you look at a beach, again, one grain of sand is not that significant, but when you have the entire beach, and so when you think about your overall relationship, and when you've got decades of all of those tiny little interactions, again, if you're not talking about the fact that, hey, when you come in here and the first thing you do is glower and attack me, it doesn't feel so great. That's something you have to talk about in the moment, right? Because your partner might not understand that it's priming you to probably, one, be defensive and two, to be disappointed. So she can say, hey, hope you're having a good day. By the way, wanted to mention the garbage is still there. I need you to take it out, right? Very, very different. And I could imagine for you and your partner that as you're navigating, I mean, God bless you, kids. That's amazing. And so, especially having kids with disabilities, there's so many rewards to that. But also, I would imagine that your communication needs have probably just been exponentially greater and probably needed to really change compared to when you're parenting before.
They are. And it's been quite an adjustment. And hopefully we're getting through it the way we need to. But yeah, none of it's easy. And that's where we chose our heart, is saying, hey, we're going to take this on. We're going to be responsible for these. And in the meantime, hopefully have enough communication to be able to get through there. So many more things I'd love to talk about, Meredith. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Could you tell our listeners how they can get in contact with you, if there's some resources you have to be able to help? For those that, again, are at a point that splits, or, hey, I really want to try to work through this. You know, we've had 30 or 40 good years together. why throw it all out if we can figure out how to make it work? No reason to get to this point if we don't have to.
Right. Yeah. So the best way to get in contact with me is to go to my website. It's www.relationshipcounselingnyc.com. So on the website, there are a lot of links. There's a link to contact. So if you'd like to reach out to me directly to ask a question, or if you're looking for a therapist, I'm always happy to help with that. There's also a link to the podcast that I host called Love Me or Leave Me. And so that's a podcast I co-host with a divorce attorney, actually, where again, we talk about all aspects around this when it comes to trying to figure out how to make that decision, right? What are the things you and your partner need to think about, or you need to kind of reflect on for yourself to be able to decide if it makes sense for me to stay or for me to go. So there's a link there to all the episodes. The website's the best way. I'm also on social media, on Instagram. You can just search my name and you'll find me there. Hopefully that's enough information. If people are looking for just a general mental health website that I think is really helpful, is psychologytoday.com. It's a directory. So if you're looking for a therapist to work with, it's great. You can filter through your zip code, your whatever you're needing. But there's also a ton of articles there and assessments. So you can explore, maybe if you're just trying to kind of gather information about, again, trying to figure out what makes sense for you or where you're at. It's a wonderful way to find some help.
Meredith, thank you so much. Thanks for being with us again this week as we talk about a little tougher topic, something that again, for some of us, a little more challenging than others as we talk about divorce. But if you are wanting help, looking for some advice, looking for someone who has experience in the area, reach out to Meredith at relationshipcounselingnyc.com. If you'd like to learn more about what we can do to help you get safely through retirement, what we can do to help you make the right decisions to allow those golden years to be as enjoyable as possible, go to my website, retirementriskadvisors.com. My name's Dave Hall. I've been your host. Look forward to seeing each of you again next week.
And that's today's episode. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to wherever you get your podcast. We come out with a new episode every Friday morning, and you don't want to miss it.
The Retirement Risk Show is a production of the Retirement Risk Advisors. Our show was produced by Sierra Tallin and Autumn Koenig. If you're a CPA looking for more retirement education, visit retirementriskadvisors.com.